We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Radio.com.
Foul line drives to the basket. Scores! John Wall attacks and scores.
Wade trying to back in. Step back. Fade away. Missing. Rebound. Kelly got it to go. 0.2 seconds left. Kelly got the rebound. Wade spun around. The shot off the rim. And there's putting the big man in for that reason.
0.2 left. Trying to take him out of the way, and that is going to be the ball game.
What a great job. They didn't even get the ball in play with a good job there by Jones on defense, and Miami wins this game 113-112.
The line, the 1-2. This one's hammered deep to left field. Way back and into the Crawford boxes. 1-0 Boston. J.D. Martinez, his second postseason home run, and the Red Sox get on the board.
Graffy at the plate. Here's the pitch. And he swings and hits one in the air to left field pretty well. Back goes Kemp. Back toward the wall. Looking up. And this ball is gone. Three-run homer. Raffy Devers. 4-0 Red Sox. Kimbrel at the belt. He fires. Swinging a fly ball left field. Benintendi moving back. Back toward the wall. He reaches up. He makes the catch. And the Red Sox have won the American League pennant for the 14th time in their history. Andrew Benintendi with the last put out there mobbing Craig Kimbrel, who got the save tonight. David Price with a win. And the Red Sox are going on to the World Series for the first time since 2013. They beat the Houston Astros in Game 5, 4-1.
All right, those Boston Red Sox are for real, man. It wasn't just a regular season deal. They are loaded. Dave Dombrowski gets that thing turned in the right direction, and they got a hell of a team now. They'll wait, of course, for Milwaukee and the L.A. Dodgers to finish up in the National League to find out what's going to happen there. Last night was, and I've seen these before, and I've seen them up close, but the Cardinals got hammered by the Broncos, and welcome to the National Football League, Josh Rosen, even though Josh Rosen has already played some. Two pick sixes in the first quarter, turned the ball over five times, three by interceptions, and fumbled twice. I think he got sacked like six times. It was a rough night. And then he got hurt in the fourth.
Bad night.
That's a bad night.
Just a bad night.
That's a bad, bad welcome to the National Football League night.
And everyone's watching, too, because it's the only game.
Yeah, it's the only night.
I mean, everyone's watching in the beginning, at least.
Yeah,
I don't know. After the first quarter, I think everyone turned that game off.
I guess, what was it, 21-0, you could have turned it off and said.
Before you blinked, Emmanuel Sanders threw a touchdown, caught a touchdown. That Arizona team right now, that offense, is bad.
Well,
bad.
Here's what I always go by, especially in the NFL. When they start getting rid of coordinators, we've already seen a coordinator fired from the Atlanta Falcons. Arizona's talking about making some changes. I can tell you what's behind the changes of coordinators since we decide we're going to make the coordinators the fall guys, which they always are. That's why when I find out you're a coordinator, it's great money. It really is. It's seven-figure money now for everybody that's coordinator.
But you're the first dude out if there's a problem.
But yeah. You are definitely always the first fall guy, right?
Yes, 100%.
Always. Even ahead of players playing crappy, the head coach, he'll get the benefit of the doubt, especially if he's early in his contract. But usually followed by the coordinators going out the door, if it's really bad and looks dysfunctional, will be the head coach.
Oh, so your offense is struggling, huh? But the defense is doing okay right now, but you've lost four straight games? Change of coordinator. Defense can't stop the run. Having a bad couple games in a row, but the offense is playing all right. Defense, we got to change the scheme. Defensive coordinator's got to go. It's never right. The head coach is early, unless it's just real bad in that Cam Cameron style bad.
Well, and that is So we were talking about this yesterday, like, hey, when is a first or second year head coach get fired? And I said, well, if they're hustling and the guys are playing hard and it's pretty clean and there's not a lot of negative media stuff, you know, coming out from the players to the media, then they're okay for a while. But if you get like Cam Cameron, where stuff's leaking out that Joey Porter standing and others are standing going, you're the worst coach in a team meeting, players only with the coaches meeting and the GM standing there and says, you have no clue what you're doing. You're so far over your head. It's embarrassing. We're bad because of you. Can you imagine Joey Porter standing up?
No.
And you look around and you got guys nodding their head and you realize I've lost, not only lost 15 games, or was going to go on to lose a bunch of games.
I lost 53 guys.
I lost the whole team.
Yeah.
And you got a problem. And the young guys follow the veteran players. And in the case of Cam Cameron, when he was losing everything, he was going to bring a veteran back when he realized, because he went up to some of the defensive veterans outside and said, what can I do? And how about if I bring one of our defensive tackles back? And they just ripped him. It was just... I mean, when a coach goes, I'll bring him back if that'll make everybody happier.
He wants to satisfy the players to try to win that locker room back.
Oh, Cam.
It's over at that point.
And Cam was a nice guy, and I know he gets ripped a lot.
Well, didn't we see the writing on the wall preseason game number four that year when he decided to kind of like sit in the stands and let Dom Capers and whoever the offensive coordinator was run the game? They need the experience. Dom Capers been in the league 40 years. What kind of experience does he need?
He lost, if I'm not mistaken— And I'm talking about the right coach. Before the year started, you know, see, now you got me going to all this stuff. So Jason Taylor had a big charity foundation. You know, he's got a huge Jason Taylor Foundation and generate a lot of money and does a lot of stuff with his charity. So he said, hey, I'd like to have this big press conference for the season on what we're going to do. Can I use a facility? And they told him no.
Oh, that's smart.
You need to have it off property. We don't want it on property.
Doesn't sound very smart.
And that started a real bad relationship.
Let's piss off our best player.
Our best player is salty.
Not day one, day negative five.
Yeah,
before
you even got to camp.
Yeah.
And you've already got your best player or one of your best players real salty.
That sounds about right.
So it's just lack of like somebody going, are you sure, Cam, you want to do this? It's really not going to hurt anything. Are you sure? This is what you want to do. Anyway.
Didn't make a lot of sense.
So if you do stuff like that, then you're a one and done coach.
How do you get fired as a head coach year one? See Cam Cameron, chapter 27 in our Dolphins book.
But I don't know what's going to happen in Arizona. It's bad, obviously. It's real bad. And, you know,
some coordinators gone. That's it.
You turn the ball over five times offensively. Defense. It was bad everywhere. It was, you know, you got rookie quarterback who a lot of people still think is going to be really good and maybe is, but he's going to need more help around him. But, that was an ugly one. Anyway, we got all kinds of stuff here on a Friday. We don't want to mess up anybody's Friday. We continue on the Heat. Get a nice tight win last night on a hustle. I call that a hustle game last night. Out-rebounding offensively the Wizards 22-7, including the game winner by Kelly Olynyk last night was the difference on a putback after D-Wade took one of those fadeaways that he's known for. A little deeper maybe than you want to see.
I'd move in 6 feet.
But anyway, that Kelly Olynyk, right place, right time. Wizards apparently don't block out at all.
No.
Haven't learned the fundamental of blocking out a little bit here. I know Dwight Howard didn't play last night, but yeah, he just had a nice little get himself in position to take it up with two hands and put it back, and the Miami Heat get a 113-112 win. Josh Richardson, 28 points, 13 in the fourth quarter. So they get a nice little start, and so they're just asking me, are we in for a lot of these games this year? And I was like, yeah, pretty much. Whoever they're playing. They're going to hustle to make up for anybody that's got a more talented team. They're going to play their ass off and play hard. And then they'll play against they'll play down a little bit from time to time against some of the other teams that I just think they're going to win a lot of these games, but they're going to be tight. They could be 2-0. They could be 0-2 right now.
Yeah, you're right.
Could have gone either way. That thing takes a weird bounce last night. They're 0-2 coming home.
You're right. Just takes a little bit worse of a bounce off the back of the rim. Kelly's not there to get the rebound. You're 0-2. That's it.
Literally.
All it takes.
Right. And it's not like he's jumping out of the building. He just was literally got his both hands on it. Perfect place with all those guys standing around.
It was like a layup line, like before the game.
He got the right place to put it up with less than a second left. And so the Heat get a win last night. We got all kinds of stuff coming out from yesterday. Got a big show for you. TJ McDonald, Miami Dolphins safety, going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Check in with Blue on our high school football as we're coming down the stretch here now the next couple weeks. Teams all battling to get themselves set up for the playoffs, all that stuff. And yesterday, the NBA, I think it was really smart. Some people may not think it's perfect. The NBA, once again, jumps out in front of everybody. Jumps out in front of everybody and says, hey, we're going to start the G League with the new top players coming out of high school for next year, next summer, 2019. The elite players that don't want to do one and done in college will be able to come to our NBA G League. It'll be a new alternative form. So if you don't feel like going to college, if you don't feel like going to Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, a little Kansas in there, if I'm missing any other, the great one-and-done schools, I apologize. But you'll be allowed, if you don't want to go to college and fake your way through for a semester, you can go 125,000 plus off-court programs to get yourself set up to be in the draft the following year with all the other college guys and everything else, but you get paid $125,000 over 5 months. I thought it was brilliant.
It's a good move by the NBA. Take the elite of the elite that are going to go to these, like you said, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, whatever. Actually, it's Duke on top of that list more than anything lately. Yeah, take all those kids away from that. Put them in your league. I mean, there's still some questions about where, you know, where the kids are going to play and this and that, but the way I look at it is,
whose G League team they'll play on?
Yeah, like what team they go play for, I don't know. And that's the only thing that we don't necessarily know. But, yeah, I think it's a smart move because look what the ratings are in college basketball when you get to those big games. Like, why not try to get the G League, some of those guys in there? Maybe Adam Silver's thinking to himself, we can monetize this a little bit and put it on TV and put Zion Williamson, guys like that, obviously not this year, but the Vernon Carey Juniors of the world on Showcase on our network, NBA TV, in these games and maybe get some ratings from it and not let them go to Duke anymore and pay them $125,000, which to the NBA, think about what these guys are making right now. $44, $45 million a year. They don't care about $125.
I don't think this is going to be going on for long because we're a couple years away from getting the old rule
high school back in.
High school, in the NBA. But
until
for now,
that's done, here you go.
This is the part that, and there are a bunch of parts that still have to be figured out, like what team will they play on, number one. Number two, who's going to decide? There has to be a committee to decide, like, okay, Vernon Carey Jr. is the number three ranked player in basketball at 6'10". We feel he's a one-and-doner for sure. But the guys five down, Steve Jackson, good player, but we don't know if he's a one-and-done first-round pick. No, we're not going to allow you to go. And the guys go, I don't want to go to college. I hate college. I want to play basketball. Yeah, but we don't think you're a one-and-done elite guy. So there's going to be interesting
how they get picked.
Who gets picked, yeah. And how do you cut it off? Because I was looking at all the five-star players. There's a bunch of names on the five-star for next year, players in their ranking. It will be – so a committee has to figure out who's legit to step in and be, you know, looking into the future and going, oh, yeah, these guys, you know, Vernon Carey Jr. is a top 10 pick in the NBA the following year. This guy is or that guy is, and this guy isn't. So that'll be an interesting cutoff there and how they do it. But hey, nice start. Tell you what, I'd like to be Vernon Carey Jr. and Big Vern and his wife sitting around going, all right, so they don't need the money. Vern played in the NFL.
No,
for a
I'm
long
sure he's
time,
got some
so
cash. Yeah.
He's got a little different background than some of the other guys, but he's a talented guy, smart guy. His dad, very familiar of get paid. So it will be interesting to see what he does. That's going to be an interesting one. Former professional athlete for a long time at right guard, made some good money. Right tackle, excuse me. I can't believe I said right guard. Right tackle. So I'm really curious to see what talk to old Vern and see what the family's thinking here.
2 months or Duke or a buck and a quarter?
On this decision.
couple of months.
Yeah, three months at Duke, whatever
it is.
A
little bit. I mean, practicing. It's probably 5 or 6 months. Okay. But I just get yourself ready, go through it, and then leave like everybody else is. Or, you know, you get a little schooling in there. But listen, it's full-time. If you're on a scholarship, and I'm not telling people I have kids on scholarship in school, I was blown away when my kid went to Colgate and how serious they were. We're getting a little late here again. I thought maybe there wouldn't be as much practice at Colgate for football, and it's just like Division One. I mean, my God, man, it was serious, crazy.
Man.
Yeah, they don't mess around. Hey, we got to go to break here. We are running super late, and I've done it again here, and I'm trying not to mess up anybody's Friday because you can't mess up a Friday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Radio.com.
Well, if you want to get things stirred up in this town, all you have to do right now is try to figure out what's going on with Ryan Tannehill.
That's
and who's
it.
Breaking the story and who's doing this and who's doing that and when he's coming back. So go ahead. Let's play doctor. Let's have a little fun. I think he's going to come back. Let me see. They've got the Lions this week. Got the Lions, actually, Sunday.
That's right.
And then 6 days from now, they've got the Texans on the road. And then back home against the Jets. I think that's 10 days in between, 9 days in between Thursday night and coming back for a home game.
November 4th, Jets here at home. Yep.
All right, couple weeks away.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Tannehill coming back for the Jets game.
Yeah, the Jets at
somebody can write that, pick that up.
Oh, someone will blog about it. You get that on November 4th, the Jets, and then you're at Green Bay on the 11th. Those are the two games after the Houston game.
Yep.
So, I'm assuming. And then you get the bye week.
So
could that?
No, you can go that. I'm giving it
because I look at it. I look at it and say November 25th at Indianapolis.
Okay.
Comeback date for Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
It's a month.
That gives him a long time to get real.
That gives him a month, and we're talking Chicago game, Detroit game, Houston game, Jets game, Green Bay. It's 5 games. That's a month. You come back November 25th.
All right. Let's go. How about you, DQ? We'll get you in on here. We'll get you stirring the pot a little bit.
I'm just trying to think of a name that we're going to come up with Brock Osweiler to play in November.
So Rocktober's not enough?
Rocktober's going to bleed into November. Wait, somebody, we got to come
60
up with
days
some
of Brocktober.
I think he's back. He's back at
that Jets game will be
Brock.
November 4th.
He's back at Hard Rock.
At Hard Rock Stadium.
He's back at Hard Rock Stadium for the Jets. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. There it is. That would give him what? That would still be almost 3 weeks from the Chicago game on.
Yours is good, though. Yours makes sense.
Because of the bye week. The only way I look at it. You're giving him that extra week with the bye, but that does mean – comes the Chicago game, the Detroit game, the Houston game, the Jets game, and the Green Bay game. Brock Osweiler is your starting quarterback.
So he comes back for the
5 games out of the season.
All right, and he comes back for six, seven games?
At Indy, Buffalo at home, New England at home, at Minnesota, Jacksonville at home, finish the season at Buffalo.
Okay.
That's Tannehill's end of the season. I don't know. It just depends, I guess, on how bad that shoulder really
is. I understand that. You know? I mean, that's what we're all.
Because November 4th, if he's almost ready to go now, and I don't mean almost like he could start this week, but if he's on the track, then November, you should be right. I'm right, his shoulder's bad.
Well.
If he needs a month off.
He's teasing everybody. He's out there, and they got the video showing him still out there and running around a little
not
bit.
Not really throwing, but he can catch
but
the
he's
ball.
He's still out there, and you see him doing stuff without nice throwing and irritating his shoulder or whatever it might be. So, anyway, I know everybody's still writing about it, and the little NFL investigation is going on, which, by the way, I don't think they can do anything to the Dolphins, considering he worked out the morning of the game to see if he could throw.
He just couldn't go.
And they called Brock Osweiler and told him, you're starting Sunday morning. I mean, they either did some really good covering up, or they just went, hey, he can't play, so Brock, get ready to go, even though I know you didn't get to practice a lot for a couple of days there.
Hence the reason for this investigation.
So they'll find out, and see what they do. You know, they have a rule, which I did not know. The Raiders just got fined some money. I did not know about the rule. You have to let guys, you have to let the league know when you stay home and you're out. Out of the game and staying home.
Mm.
I did not know
that's
that.
That's a new rule for me, too.
I didn't know half the time when a guy's playing or not playing. We get on the guys walk by you, and occasionally somebody will call me and go, hey, did you see such and such get off the plane? And I, not that I'm looking for all the guys. I got my favorites I yap with, but talking about 50-something guys. And I said, I didn't really see him, but I don't see him a lot.
That's
anyway.
News right there, yeah.
So you don't know. Actually, I don't even know on game day, like, because a lot of guys, you know, don't, they sit in the locker room and don't come out if they're not playing. So, and then, you know, sometimes as I get towards the start of the game and I'm over on the side, I go, did such and such travel?
Yeah, now
I didn't
now
see him. And they go,
yeah.
No, he didn't make the trip. Mm. So, oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, but the league likes to know that. They want to know
injury reports.
That's man. It. Injury. The league wants accurate injury reports. I would just start with this though. Although I guess the Patriots do it. They put like everybody on. They're
it's
always
like 40 guys in the.
I just
report.
Feel like he's always messing with the league,
of course
and they just kind of all put up with it.
You think he cares? Come on. The only thing he won't do is not put anyone on there. He'll put 40 guys on there.
Well, then if he did that,
ankle,
and all of a sudden,
back.
You can't say a guy's out and then he starts and gets introduced and plays 60
plays. But everybody's
plays.
Questionable until Sunday.
So, well, questionable. I don't know. Like, I don't know what happened here. I think everybody listening right now will understand this on these reports, especially on Friday, the important day today, is doubtful is you're not playing.
Mm.
Questionable is there's a real good chance you are playing. Occasionally a questionable just doesn't feel like it, and somebody will make a decision last second.
Probable?
Probable 100% in. And out is out.
Yeah, that's right. I love the keywords.
So, but somehow we've gotten where it's nobody trusts anybody, and it's getting really, really crazy. Anyway, we got all kinds of stuff going on here today, and last night, the Miami Heat get a win on a last-second shot, last-second putback by Kelly Olynyk.
Kelly-O.
Yeah, he came in right place, right time, and the big stat of the night for all the people looking for the one stat is the difference. That's what we do. 22-7 in offensive rebounds for the Heat in favor, 22-7. And, of course, the 22nd one is the biggest one because puts it back. And it's the game winner after Dwayne Wade miss on a fadeaway, and they're 1-1 coming back home for the weekend.
Josh Richardson last night at times looked like the man for this team.
Yeah, and
there were some times last night. Yep.
I mean, how much do I read into Pat Riley saying, "Hey, just want to let everybody know we're backing off right now on Jimmy Butler, but down the road there's no guarantees." So how am I supposed to feel like, oh, Pat, what you're telling me is I'm here right now, but if things get real bad in Minnesota, my ass could be gone in a couple of weeks?
Everybody's safe until the beginning of February, right? Until the trade deadline. Like that. Everyone's safe for right now. Don't worry. But if something happens, something
But
happens.
I didn't really get that. Did Pat Riley, did I miss something if I did read this, that Pat Riley told him, hey, Gorn and the rest of you guys just go out, and Gorn admitted, yeah, it kind of messes with you a little bit when you know you get a Jimmy Butler, there's going to probably be a couple of guys gone in that package, and I wonder if I'm in there. And, you know, we all get a little insecure, especially athletes. We get a little insecure if you think you're on that list.
Pat has, quote, pulled the plug on the trade talk right now.
For good?
Just pull the plug. That's what it says.
He said, hey, we are out of it. I'm just here to tell the team we're no longer interested in Jimmy Butler. Did he say that? I don't think
he'd
he did.
Confirmed that Pat Riley addressed players about Jimmy Butler trade rumors, basically said team is, quote, pulling the plug for now, but that's not to say something won't happen
right.
I love the reports. That's Shandell Richardson who has that.
So how
on
much
Twitter.
Am I supposed to read into that?
I don't know.
Like Pat thinks, hey, you guys, go out and play your ass off right now. You're all good. We're going with this group. I've had a gut full of Minnesota. But down the road, I don't know.
Isn't he just kind of going after Glenn Taylor, the owner of the Minnesota, a little bit? Hey, you know what?
Could be.
We're not answering the phones right now. We're good. Glenn Taylor calls us, Pat, listen, that one trade you offered us, not the last one, but the one before that?
Yeah.
We're good with that if it's still on the table. Oh, it is? Okay, good. Well, guys, guess what? I know I pulled the plug 2 days ago. But they didn't want this latest trade. They wanted the one before that, which is better for us.
That makes Riley look bad, though.
Of course it does.
You stand in front of the team. I mean, you can do whatever, and fans will go, hey, that's the way to improve our team. Good job. You were messing with Minnesota if you manipulated that deal. But it looks real bad. That's why I don't think Pat Riley would do that.
But if Glenn Taylor calls back and doesn't want half that stuff, you don't think Pat's going to have to pull that trigger?
Well, he does. He looks bad. I'm just going to tell you, he looks like, hey, you guys see how good my word is. Huh? It just looks bad.
I know.
I understand Pat wanted it's obvious to me that some guys were not real comfortable with what was going on here in these deals and the names that were thrown in there. So Pat wanted to put the fire out before they started the regular season. But you can't lie to guys. Just can't do it.
Well, he pulled the plug. Doesn't mean the plug's fully out.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out what happens and who jumps in this thing, and we'll be watching. I've never been so interested watching Jimmy Butler in Minnesota play basketball as we are
just
now.
Just don't get hurt.
Hey, you can join us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22. Got a lot more stuff to get to, including college football, the National Football League, and, of course, T.J. McDonald will join us, Miami Dolphins safety, in the early 7 o'clock hour. Got a lot of high school stuff coming up as well this morning. We got one part of the World Series all set up, and we had a blowout on Thursday Night Football.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
You know what I want to hear? I want to hear Sunday. I want to hear one thing. Man, it's hot out here.
I thought I was going to say, and that's another Dolphins touchdown.
No. I want to hear literally where those guys come out and, damn, forgot how hot it is down here. Man, this humidity.
We're going to have to wait for the weather report for that one. I think it's going to be clear skies and nice out on Sunday.
I hope there's a little rain early. I don't want to mess up tailgating, but.
Just a little
9
right.
o'clock just to. Just to make it nasty, down a little bit where that humidity comes up. If we're going to do this thing and really get a home field advantage and play all these stinking 1 o'clock games, let's do it upright. Let's jump right into it,
all 1 p.m.ers, except for coming up in Houston. That's it.
And yeah,
enjoy that Houston game.
That's right.
Thursday that's your only night. Primetime game of the season.
That is it, unless you keep winning and you get flexed.
Yeah, well.
Sunday night later on in the season, which that hasn't happened in a long time either. Yeah.
Have the Dolphins ever been flexed?
Boy, it's been a long time. I was at NBC forever waiting to get flexed once.
I don't think the Dolphins have ever been flexed into one of those NBC games.
They didn't get flexed.
I think they've been changed from like a 1 p.m. to a 4 p.m. once. But I don't think they've ever been flexed into that Sunday night game.
I can never remember a year, and maybe I'm mistaken, 15
1 p.m.ers.
1 o'clock games. Everybody's got to play a Thursday night game, so that's no honor.
So basically, that's it. You only have the one.
No Sunday night. No Monday night, and all 1 o'clock games. Let me just tell you, when the NFL got together with the networks, this is what they said. The Miami Dolphins aren't going to be very good.
No, exactly. Leave them at 1.
So, and the other problem, and we always talk about it, is just lack of star power. Lack of star power and team and chemistry and all that stuff. The league goes, oh, that sounds real good, but We like seeing Brady on a winning drive followed by Aaron Rodgers on a winning drive. That's good for our business.
Or you had to have a top really 5 pick games. In the draft. They want to see Saquon Barkley or Baker or
That's
Darnold
right. That's
or
right.
one of those guys.
Guys
you
have
know?
Been hyped up in college, top picks.
That's it.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. That's
You saw it in the first week. Didn't we see the Jets on Monday Night Football? Then they had another primetime game 2 weeks later. Sam Darnold, the Jets, Baker Mayfield. Saquon Barkley, they wanted to see the top guys. I mean, Chubb doesn't really count, or Denzel Ward, because they're defensive players. But you get a quarterback, you get a star wide receiver, you get a running back, top 5, top 8, top 10, you're probably going to get one of those Sunday or Monday night games.
It's really, this draft's been about one running back and 4 quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
That's what it's about for star power, because we've heard so much about him. And that's the thing that the NFL's got going for it. And by the way, college basketball a little bit too for guys you followed and that you got to see in college last year. I don't know as much as you see in college football, though, but you see those guys so much at those programs. The NFL with all these draft shows and knowing and watching guys and hearing every time you watch them in their last year of college, which usually is their junior year, and those guys go, oh, this guy's going to be one of the top picks. He's got a chance to be one of the top picks. So you see him so much and you watch him, then you're, hey, that's – they just go right in and they're big names. Like Baker Mayfield was a – you know, his story and everything else. He was a big name from being a walk-on to being the first overall pick in the National Football League. And Barkley at Penn State, just so good. And then trying to figure the order of those quarterbacks and how they're going to go and how they're all going to work out, which we still have to wait and see how it's going to play out for all of them. But that's star power. That's how you get the star power until guys start playing at a real high level. But it sure helps when they're high picks and end up being really good football players. That's how it usually goes. Anyway, we got they got that game. Got all kinds of other stuff going on here that we were talking about. I'm going to be really curious. Congratulations to the NBA. And Adam Silver's got to get a lot of credit for this again. The NBA G League. And they're jumping right into this. Because last night I saw and I go, oh, this G League thing. Here we go again. It's going to be a couple years down the road. You go, no. It's up next summer.
Starting next summer.
2019. In the summer, they are going to have this plan for the one-and-done guys that don't want to go to college. They're going to be allowed to skip their 1 year or half a year of college and go directly to the pros, play in the G League for $125,000 for 5 months. 5 months of playing basketball, something you love. You got $125,000, plus if you're good enough to get a little shoe contract, you get all that.
Sure, of
course. Anything you get on the side, you can take. You're free without looking over your shoulder.
You have to worry about an FBI investigation.
No, you're good to go, and they're going to educate you. I think the parents going to like this, or parent, off-court programs to help you adjust life, as in opening checking accounts,
financial
savings
stuff.
Accounts, yep. And learning about investments.
Paying bills and stuff like that.
You don't need three cars. You can only drive one car at a time. You don't need three.
Oh, really? Is that the case?
You don't have to send all your money home. You know, there's just a lot of different programs that are out. And the reason I say that is because the NFL's got the same programs. But so we got a guy down here that played right tackle for the Dolphins whose son is going to be one of those guys that
absolutely
has to make this decision. He hasn't decided where he's going to college. By the way, good move for him. Vernon Carey sitting here going at 6'10", one of the best players in high school basketball, this university team. We got to get out and see him play this year.
They're going to be loaded this year, yeah.
So 6'10", he is going to fit in that program. Does he take the $125,000? Mom and dad don't need the money. This is not hardship. I'm really curious to see what Vernon Carey decides to do. Does he go to Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina? Kansas, I guess, could be in the picture. Does he go to one of those schools? Or does he say, you know what, I'm not really interested in going to college. I'm going to take the $125,000, play a little G League, bang around with some of these young guys trying to make it in the league, and jump into the draft the following year like everybody else. Except I got a little money coming in.
See, I think that's going to be the difference is the background. And if a guy comes from something like that with Vern, who played in the NFL, who's pretty well set off money-wise, I'm sure, or a kid that you might be struggling a little bit at home with the family, and $125,000 is a pretty good start no matter how you look at it. I mean, it's not getting a rookie deal for, $9 or $10 million or whatever it is over the 2 or 3 years, but $125,000 for 5 months right before you go into the pros. It's not a bad deal to get right there and kind of get the schooling from the NBA life for a couple months. Maybe get that shoe deal, like you said, and not have to worry about anything else. All of a sudden, that $125,000 turns into, I don't know, $500,000, maybe more than that.
I heard a report last night. I don't know if it's true. I think I heard Michael Wilbon say that none of these top NBA picks got shoe contracts.
Well, we know Ayton did, didn't? Because we talked about that.
Did he sign
with
Puma?
Yeah, Ayton signed with Puma.
Oh, he did.
They did sign a couple of the new rooks. Because remember, we Hollywood had that story about how he had to put the tape around the Nike shoe.
Oh, that's right.
Because the Puma shoe wasn't ready yet. So yeah, that's. I mean, I only know one so far off the top of my head.
But that's if you look at it, hey, that makes it easy. You're getting a shoe contract. They get to you early, knowing you're going to be top pick the following year.
Yep.
You get a little warm up money. That's not.
That's what I'm saying. The buck 25 turns into maybe $500,000 or $1 million.
Especially if you're just going, even Duke, and I know Duke's a good education. I know a lot of guys that go to Duke and.
But how much education are you getting in 4 months? That's what I'm saying.
Much.
It's not like a guy going 2 years.
How serious are you going to take school when you know you're only there for the first semester and the second one you're probably dropping out to get ready for the NBA draft when you know?
Joe, I go back and I reference that Ben Simmons documentary all the time when he went to school at Louisiana State LSU and he literally went to class for the first semester and just passed. Some of the classes just got by, and then when that second semester started and they were getting closer to March Madness, he basically told the coach, I don't need to go to school. I don't need to go to class anymore. I'm playing basketball for your team, and then I'm going first overall.
Yeah.
Like, coach, you want to suspend me for the first 8 minutes of a game and want to explain why? That's up to you. I don't care. I'm not coming back to school. Yeah. I'm going pro in 3 months. I am here for the same reason you're using me for basketball. I'm using you because I needed to do one and done before I went to the NBA.
That's why one of the parents that's kids went to Duke last year was upset about the education. I was like, how serious, how upset are you really about education when your kid went one and done, top 10 pick?
In school and, for 5 months.
And you're getting on Coach K for what? What kind of education do you think your kid's going to get when he's there knowing he's going to turn pro? Like, what'd you want him to do? Like, get him a degree in 1 year?
Yeah.
Or a half a year? Like, you have to help me out on that one. Not that I'm sitting here defending Coach K. He doesn't need it.
No, but you got to understand,
like,
what
you're
that
one
is.
And done, how much education are you getting?
None. Five months worth.
The first year they put you in real general classes, right?
College algebra. English 1101, whatever those classes are. That's what you're taking. It's basically just like the next step above, like, that high school course you're taking. It's all the generic college classes you got to take first.
You know, the other part that really gets me and why college sports are such phonies and frauds, the biggest. I mean, they're right there with us as far as being phonies and frauds in the morning radio business. Mm. Think about this. All these reports coming out here recently again, who knew about what Adidas was given or one of the other shoe companies given. Nobody ever says anything about shoe companies. They just get mad at all the people on the other side of it.
The coaches and
Meanwhile,
assistant
coaches. Adidas, because and Nike and the rest of them give so much money to these programs to put them in clothes and shoes, nobody ever has the balls to come out, the basketballs, to come out and ever go, hey, you know what? The problem's on the other side. Oh, nobody ever wants to offend Nike. Nike does all. Nobody's going to say anything against Nike. Nike's giving everybody money. Everybody's under Nike. Hell, half our high schools down here for football are on the Nike program. So nobody's going to say,
nope.
Thank you. That's all they're saying. Thank you. We'll try to do a better job policing things and hopefully not get caught.
Yeah, let's put the Adidas or Nike representative on the stand and see what he says or she says. Oh, well, I gave cash to 22 different people. Yeah, that's it.
Hey, Zach, we got T.J. McDonald, Miami Dolphins safety, going to join us coming up in the early 7 o'clock hour. The Blue Meister, Larry Bluestein's up. Get us caught up on our high school football, how everybody's looking down the stretch of high school football. So we've got a big 7 o'clock hour coming up. What do you got for me?
Radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.